This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life and the fact that you set me a beautiful wife for the good and the bad. For the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds, we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this thing? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you. I'm feeling good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day, another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me perfectly currently. Feeling the breeze from the sea, and the clouds giving shade to me. Pray for me patiently, growing the food that I eat. And we could never count your blessings every second. So many lessons got me turning to the heavens. Thanks to He for creating me, shaping me, sustaining me. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life and the fact that you set me a beautiful wife for the good and the bad, for the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds, we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this thing? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give
my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you.
I wanna thank you.
I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you.
I wanna thank you.
I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you.
I'm feeling good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day,
another day.
For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down.
Alrighty, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to day number 10 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. Welcome back to everyone who's been back. Now that we're hitting the first third of Ramadan being over, I always like to do a little roll call. Who's been here from the very beginning of Ramadan 360 this year? Who hasn't missed a single session that we've been live so far? Farida, we use the honesty or the integrity kind of method, so we'll take your word for it, inshallah, for everyone who's commenting. But I feel like, mashallah, everyone I've seen either on my screen or in my chats, we've got Tone, we've got Hunain from Theta PK, we've got Laiba, we got Aisha, we got Paris from Bronx, New York, we got Sophia from Brussels. Just a reminder, everyone, as you're coming in, just to add your locations as always to your names and make that part of your routine as you're joining us for the sessions. Laiba, welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone saying their salams as well. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Sakina from the UK. Bilqis, I've seen you on my screen, Bilqis, every single day, which reminds me, I want to see you again, inshallah. So I just made the ability for you guys to turn on your camera live. So please do join me here on, oh, sorry, Carrie, I just accidentally asked you to mute. Just ignore that. Inshallah. Great to see all of you here and all of you back with us. May Allah reward you for your consistency and your passion and your dedication. Alhamdulillah, it's been a lovely run. And I was telling you guys in the beginning, I don't like to hone on it too much, but that you just blink and a week is gone. You blink and 10 days are gone. Then you blink and it's halfway through the month. I see you nodding, Shukri. It's crazy. It's kind of the experience of Ramadan. Like you anticipate, you worry if you're going to be able to manage it and the days and the fast and, oh my God, this exams and all that kind of stuff. And then subhanAllah, Allah makes it so easy. And then you miss, you know, all these opportunities that you have to do khair. And as always, Jazakumullah khair. I know we've been kind of reminding you guys consistently, but it's been amazing to have so many of you who've been joining us also become part of the Give Daily experience here at Ramadan 360 and contribute to continuing this work and providing access to Islamic knowledge in the way that Al Maghrib Institute has been doing for the last 22 years. Alhamdulillah, making it easy and accessible and reaching people wherever they are in the way, in the style, in the professionalism, in the method that will be most impactful for them. Alhamdulillah. And just I think right now where our Give Daily counter is at 687. So I know we had a slightly higher goal, but we keep aiming high. And I know, inshallah, we're going to hit there. Today's Give Daily goal is going to be 750, inshallah. And yes, we've got the Aussies representing. We got Brisbane in the house. We've got Perth in the house. MashaAllah, Jazakumullah khair for spending your, I guess that's your suhoor time with us every single day. And welcome to those who are still coming through into the session. We're going to get started in just a couple of minutes with Sheikh Sunaiman Hani, who's going to be covering the topic of leadership with us. Sheikh Sunaiman, of course, kicked us off for the Ramadan 360 experience. We always like to have him first and last to get you guys started on the right foot and then ended in the best way. So alhamdulillah, we're here. He's back with us here today on day number 10 to keep the momentum going and to cover the topic of leadership, inshallah. I'm excited for it. If you've been a Maghrib student for the past few years, you benefited from Sheikh Sunaiman's kind of professional takes on his focuses on goal setting and maximizing your time and being the most impactful that you can be. So I'm excited to see him tackle the topic of leadership today, inshallah, as well. And you'll see him again if you're here joining us this weekend. We made that exciting announcement yesterday that we have a webinar on the topic of Oh You Who Believe. I love the topic, inshallah. If you want to register for it and RSVP to save your spot, it's going to be limited capacity once again on Zoom. So just make sure you sign up early and that you join the webinar early. It's at ramadan360.org/webinar. And that, of course, is going to be here in the chat on Zoom. And on YouTube, you guys can find that in your session description as always, inshallah. With that said, we're going to jump in really quickly. I just want to shout out, as always, the amazing people that make Ramadan 360 possible, the amazing partners, which are in the US, HHRD, in Canada, Islamic Relief, and in the UK, Forgotten Woman. You're going to have an opportunity to hear from them later in the month as well. But please, as you're trying to be consistent in your good deeds and trying to maximize every single day that's passing, please do keep them in your contribution in mind and keep them in your du'as as well. I know it's very difficult on the ground right now in the areas of most need. Where they're serving. So once again, Oh You Who Believe webinar, thank you to our amazing sponsors. And of course, every single day at 3 p.m. EST, Sheikh Ammar Shukri launches his latest Beautiful Names video on our YouTube channel for our YouTube series. So look out for that. Today's name was Al-Qarib. If you guys caught it, let me know if there's any gems that you pulled out from that video. Those videos are ripe with gems, alhamdulillah. And if you did benefit, please make sure that you're consistently sharing with others as well. And then finally, we have tomorrow our 10-day Quran challenge with Imam Wissam Sharif kicking off. Make sure that you tune in on your portal. If you're in Ramadan 360, you should have automatically had it added to your student portal. So you don't have to do anything extra or have any extra steps. And YouTube, the link is in your description as well to sign up. It's totally free. It's going to be at 1 p.m. EST, inshallah. And it'll be a great opportunity for you guys to stretch and to perfect your tajweed, inshallah, as you're reciting and benefiting and interacting with the Quran even more than usual this month, inshallah ta'ala. With that said, I'm excited to bring on Sheikh Salman Hani. He doesn't really need any introduction, alhamdulillah. If you're part of the Maghrib ecosystem, you've seen him around, you've benefited from him immensely, alhamdulillah. He is our Director of Academic Affairs. He's the mastermind behind a lot of the amazing content and experiences that you've been seeing in recent years. And mashallah, he's the head of our Tarbiyah and Murabbi, direct mentorship programs as well. And he's, of course, part of our Ramadan 360 experience coming back for a second time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Salman Hani. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. I hope you're doing well and everyone here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and accept from you. Allahumma ameen. We'll go ahead and get started, but I just want to say this, just to add on to what was stated in the beginning with Sister Hafsa. The first 10 days have, as many people are expressing, have passed by so quickly. So those who worked hard, now they're, alhamdulillah, taking some of the fruits of that. Those who didn't are perhaps regretting it. Those who started with the ambition and noticed in recent days, they're struggling to be consistent. You'll start to look for things, inshallah ta'ala, that will help you to race ahead. Certain acts of worship, the consistency here is the most important thing. May Allah grant us consistency. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down His swift justice and His relief to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, Gaza, Sudan, and East Turkestan, every land and every place in which His name is mentioned. Allahumma ameen. Let's start with this question. You're going to absolutely love this story, inshallah ta'ala. If you could wish for one thing today, what would you wish for? Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, one time with a group of sahaba in this house, he asked them, he said, tamanno, wish for something. And this means everyone should mention something they wish they could have. So one of them said, I wish this house that we are in, I wish it was filled with gold so I can donate all of it for Allah's path. The act of charity was the first thing he thought of. Charity is one of the most powerful acts of worship. And the Prophet ﷺ led the Sahaba as the ultimate role model. He was the most generous person the entire year. And he was even more generous in the month of Ramadan. So this Sahabi said something great, but Umar radiallahu anhu was looking for something else. He said, tamanno, wish for something, meaning someone else. Another Sahabi said, in other words, okay, fine, I wish this house was filled with pearls and every kind of precious gem so I can spend it in charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu again is looking for something. He says, wish for something. And then finally, one of them said, ma nadri ya amir al-mu'mineen. We don't know, meaning we're not sure what you're asking us to wish for. You're looking for a specific answer. Wallahi, this answer can motivate us, inspire us, and change not just yourself, your family, your organization, but the entirety of our ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah keep our hearts united. Allahumma ameen. I want us to think about this following statement. Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he said, atamanna, I wish, لو أن هذه الدار مملوءة رجالا مثل أبي عبيدة بن الجراح. I wish this house was filled with the likes of Abu Ubaidah, the great Sahabi, Abu Ubaidah, that's what you would wish for? Can you imagine Umar al-Khattab, you ask him, hey, can you wish for something? Tell me what you want the ummah to have. He tells you, I wish that our ummah would have more men, the likes of Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu. Why Abu Ubaidah? Why was this the response? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us some insight way before what Umar said. He said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينًا. Every nation, every ummah has the person who's known as the most trustworthy. أَمِينًا وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَبُ عُبَيْدَةٍ الْجَرَّاحِ. The trustworthy, the pinnacle example of trustworthy men of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah. One time, a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Listen to this beautiful story. They said, send with us a man who is trustworthy. لَأَبْعَثَنَّ إِلَيْكُمْ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, I will send with you somebody who is trustworthy. حَقَّ أَمِينٍ حَقَّ أَمِينٍ. Trustworthy, trustworthy, trustworthy. The Sahaba looked at each other, and the one who's reporting the hadith, he noticed what the Prophet ﷺ basically sent Abu Ubaidah. He stood up. He was the one sent to that group in Najran. Now, when Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and you know the discussion the Sahaba had about how to move forward with leadership, who's going to lead the ummah forward? How are we going to carry this responsibility? The darkest day of the ummah, the most difficult experience, what are we going to do? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, these were nominated. And then who was nominated after Umar? A lot of people don't know this story. The one who was nominated after Umar was actually Abu Ubaidah, according to an authentic report from Aisha radiallahu anha. He was nominated next, and then she kept quiet when they asked her who would have been nominated after that by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't say anything else. Abu Bakr and Umar and Abu Ubaidah would have been nominated. This tells us his status as a leader, and yet, by the way, he was never the Khalifa. And yet, by the way, he didn't look for political power. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was trustworthy. A lot of people today want to be leaders, but they don't know what Islamic leadership is. A lot of people today want to be influencers. They want following, but they have no idea the responsibility, the accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when people are listening to you, what it means for you to have a sphere of influence. A lot of people today say, I want to be a great leader, but I cannot be a good follower. And the reality is, in our ummah, you cannot be a great leader if you are not a great follower, because you start with what? Your role model. You start with following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot be a great leader without the humility of also being a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did Abu Ubaidah become so great? He was following the footsteps of the beloved alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah gives us the blueprint to Islamic leadership, starting with your role model. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. There is indeed for all of you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example. For whom? What kind of person? The one who says, I want to be a leader of just a company. I want to be an influencer. I want political power. No, for the one who has hopes in meeting Allah in a good state, the one who cares about Allah's pleasure and the day of judgment, meaning Jannah, they want to be safe and they remember Allah with much remembrance. This is the blueprint, the foundation, the framework of Islamic leadership. So when we talk about leader, this is a topic, by the way, that requires us to study it extensively. All the different frameworks, the traits, the stories of the Quran as we delve into them in a moment, inshallah ta'ala. So it's not something we can cover in 30 minutes. Rather than going for scope, for just an extensive overview, I want to try to give you some depth, inshallah ta'ala, with the limited time that we have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the blueprint. And so if you say, I want to understand the concept of Islamic leadership, it starts with recognizing, where do I look for the reference point? It starts with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ultimate leader as a father, as a husband, as a community leader, as a political leader, as a military leader. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ultimate role model. Remember this, leadership in the Islamic worldview is not about management or management style. When you study organizational theories and management, you are studying how to manage groups of people for a particular goal, but you are not usually studying all the different spiritual traits of that individual, the manager. So the Islamic concept of leadership is not just about your leadership style. It's not just about what you say to other people, your spouse's values and your claims. In Islam, a leader is not studied just from the lens of a group of people or your dynamics with others in an organization or a setting or your family as a mother, as a father, but rather in terms of your traits. Who are you first and foremost? In Islam, this is where the foundation begins. The Quran and the Sunnah give us the blueprint. So let's talk about the prophets of the past. What are the stories you hear about all the time? You know, and you could cite easily maybe 30, 40 examples of stories from the Quran. And for the last 4 years here at Al Maghrib Institute, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the first 3 years of those four, we've covered essentially almost every single story of the Quran in detail with a number of teachers and scholars and guest speakers. We've covered stories of revelation, asbab al-nuzul, the causes of revelation. We've heard from thousands of students in these last 3 years since the pandemic in 2020. We've heard from so many students how overwhelmingly positive the impact has been on their lives. And alhamdulillah, in those last 3 years, we have also seen the number of students increasing, the number of supporters increasing, the number of people benefiting from the classes, the Quran Revolution program, the Quran Challenge. We've heard students whose children joined Ilm Spring. We've had students join us for Umrah, Blessed Voyage. We've had students join the Tarbiyah program, the Murabbi program right now. A shout out to all the students, all the donors, all the facilitators, every single person who had a share in it, whether it was your dua, or your charity, or anything else. Your support of every single part of Al Maghrib Institute is one of the smartest types of sadaqah, because it goes to so many different people, so many different projects. It's a worldwide movement and an experience and a tribe for the entirety of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts united. Allahumma ameen. By the way, I was told last time, the beginning of Ramadan, and I want to remind you all, may Allah reward you and bless you. We have made it now, alhamdulillah, to the second third of Ramadan. Whoever can chime in, take a share, be part of this. This is a sadaqah jari that spreads out. Join us, inshallah ta'ala, as one of the daily givers. Our goal, inshallah ta'ala, is to reach 750 by the end of today. Alhamdulillah, we have already almost 600 plus students. We need, inshallah ta'ala, another 100 by the end of this session. So take a share of this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead us always to what is good and then allow us to take advantage. Where does the blueprint begin? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اقْتَدِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the stories of the prophets and the messengers. And he says, these were the prophets rightly guided by Allah. So follow their guidance. That is your leadership. You learn from the stories. It's not for entertainment. You learn lessons that will benefit your life very practically, in a very real way. Sometimes people just want entertainment. And the best thing you can do is to take a story that Allah gives you and to say, how do I internalize this? How am I really living upon this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us consistency. Allahumma ameen. Where do we begin? We begin with iman, with belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with calling people to khayr. And so an example of leadership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah 21, verse 73, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأُحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاءِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ We made them, Ishaq and Ya'qub alayhim salam, leaders. This is an example of leadership. We made them leaders, guiding by our command. What does Allah say about leadership here? That they were people who worshipped Allah. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ If you want to understand Islamic leadership, it is intertwined directly with your iman in Allah, your worship of Allah. You can't make claims and sit back in a mansion and eat and overeat and tell people, go do all the work of the ummah. No, you have to be part of the ummah. You cannot tell people, be righteous and you yourself are doing everything evil and you don't care about ibadah. Islamic leadership starts with you believing in Allah, strengthening your iman. And fi'l al-khayrat are mentioned here. These are people who do good deeds. That's what a leader is. You are doing good yourself. You know how oftentimes people say, I want to be like Abdurrahman bin Auf, the rich person who gave so much sadaqah. I want to be that person in the community. But this person has no ambition to like worship. This person is just looking for the next mansion. This person is looking for fanciest cars, prestige and brand names. And it's not that this is not an important role, the sadaqah. But instead of only taking that one trait of Abdurrahman bin Auf, like to be generous, right? To be charitable, alhamdulillah, that's a huge thing. But take it to the next level. Abdurrahman bin Auf memorized the Quran and would lead the Sahaba in prayer. And he recited Surah Al-Baqarah often in Salah, in his Qiyam. He was very righteous. He was amongst those who did good deeds. That's an example of leadership, by the way. So prayer and sadaqah is mentioned in this ayah. وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ These are people who establish prayer and they give their charity. And these are tests for us that come about every single day. establishing the prayer, helping other people, doing good deeds. What else does a leader from the Islamic worldview do? A leader in the Islamic worldview learns how to deal with the mistakes of other people. Again, we're going for a little bit of depth and not as much of scope. So what's an example? The Battle of Uhud takes place and some Muslims were martyred because of the mistakes of some believers. You know the story when they left the mount, the Prophet ﷺ told them not to leave. And this was a very sad, tragic moment for the Ummah. But notice this, imagine the fear that those Muslims had. What's going to happen to us? What will the Prophet do to us? Are we going to get excommunicated, kicked out? What's going to happen in our community? Will people ever forgive us? We just faced the first real loss. Badr was a success. Uhud was a partial loss here. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen to us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 159, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Look at the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells him, by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh-hearted and you were in your speech and in your heart, if you were harsh in your speech and harsh in your heart, they would have left you. لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Rather, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Forgive them, pardon them, and keep them amongst those you consult in the next steps in the decision-making process. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you have that azima, once you've decided, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Brothers and sisters, I kid you not when I say this one ayah. We can take this and discuss for the next 1 hour just about the tafsir, the specific traits of leadership the Prophet ﷺ had. But for the sake of time, we'll go through a few very quickly. These were some Muslims who made a mistake. The Prophet ﷺ, as the leader, knows how to deal with these mistakes. Sometimes a Muslim with his own family has no tolerance whatsoever. A small mistake, they never forgive. Sometimes a husband, a wife, the person makes a mistake and they're trying to redeem themselves, and the husband or the wife are refusing to forgive. A parent with his child, a child with their parent, an uncle with a nephew. Sometimes people are so harsh. They are not following the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah guide us to what's best. Fadhan, harsh in speech. If you were harsh in your speech, why does Allah say this? Because sometimes, notice this, sometimes people say, listen, I'm harsh in my speech because I'm your leader. I have to coach you. I have to remind you. I'm your parent. I'm your husband. I'm this and that. But I have nothing in my heart. I have nothing in my heart. My heart is not harsh. I mean good. You know, when somebody says they mean well, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't have that excuse of saying that you're, you know, good in your heart. You're not harsh. You're not angry at them, but externally you are harsh. No, in your heart and on your tongue, in your heart and on your tongue. So when Allah tells us this in Surah Ali Imran, it's a reminder for you as an individual. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just trying to help them improve. Don't be harsh on your tongue or in your heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow this example from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's leadership. So sometimes, some cases, you have to let things go because you cannot change the situation. Other times, you may have to fix certain things. Obviously, every context is different, but this is generally the principle of Islamic leadership. Allah tells the Prophet to forgive them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pardon them, forgive them. Khalas, it's over, you cannot change the past, forgive them. They're trying to improve. They know they did something wrong. They're trying to redeem themselves. Sometimes in the cancel culture that we are seeing today, people are not given an opportunity to redeem themselves. People are not given an opportunity to change. But also, notice this. This is almost, if you think about it, it's mind-blowing for some people to consider the next step. You want me to be nice to them, not to be angry in my speech or my heart, and you want me to forgive them, and you want me, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, consult them. You know what shura is? It's one of the clearest examples that someone in a position of decision-making, of responsibility or authority, understands with humility that it's not about you. It's about the objective. It's not about you as an individual, as a messenger of your organization, as a name brand. No, it's about the message. It's about the goal. It's much greater than me. It's much greater than you. This is much larger than any one of us. It's about the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The concept of shura is to consult the people around you. And wallahi, there's a beautiful psychological transformation that happens. And if you are to spend just a year or even a couple months studying the Western approach to organizational theory, you will find that some of the leading experts are telling people that the most effective workplaces and organizations are the places where people are consulted. What do you think we should do? What are some of the decisions that we will take together for their buy-in, that we are a part of this, even when they make mistakes? How will we fix this mistake? What can we do to improve the situation? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. It's a very remarkable thing, because sometimes the reaction when you see someone making a mistake in your home, in your family, in your organization, your MSA, the first response is to push them away, cut them off, I'll take care of this, we'll fix it, or consequences, whatever it may be. This is someone who knows they made a mistake. Every context is different. The Prophet ﷺ consulted, and the Sahaba used to see this often. And Abu Huraira reported the Prophet ﷺ used to do this all the time. He consulted the Sahaba, the companions. And this is something we take. An example for your own life is to consult your family members. Consult them, let them be part of the decisions. Even if the final say is not going to an individual, a specific person, let them be part of the discussion. Let the people in your organization be more involved. Let people buy in. So consultative participation or management. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for ever being individualistic or thinking that we have all the answers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest leader for us to follow and emulate. And this is something he used to always do. What else? Now that we mentioned forgiveness, pardoning people when they make mistakes, that a leader understands how to move forward in consultative management or consulting people with shura, there's another blessing in some of the stories of the Quran teaching us how to benefit from the Quran. One of them is the wisdom in advising and calling other people to good, the wisdom in da'wah. We know the stories of the prophets and the messengers, alayhim salam, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, for example, da'wah, 950 years. Did he only do da'wah in one way? No. He mentions, and this is in Surah Nuh, إِنِّي دَعَوْتُمْ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I called my people nighttime. There are people you call to in certain times and they're not available other times. Daytime, I called other people. أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. I also called people in private and in public. Your da'wah style has to be accommodating to the person you are calling to, whether it's your family member, your children, your relatives, your neighbors. You have to customize your da'wah for your audience. Know your audience. The one who leads people in terms of influence and benefit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to speak to people on their level in ways they understand. Sometimes a young student of knowledge learns so much about Islam, they become very passionate, but they misunderstand the methodology, the da'wah styles, how to call people, how to advise people. So they become very harsh and they push people away from Allah rather than bringing people to Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know what he was told to do in the beginning of his prophethood? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Start with your family. Start with the people closest to you. Brothers and sisters, as you are looking at the situation in Gaza and Sudan and Yemen, East Turkestan, these situations are endless and we try to address every single one of them throughout our lives. But you will notice some people, they are amazing when it comes to external work outside of the home. Social justice causes from the Islamic lens, and they are doing it right. MashaAllah, may Allah bless them and accept from them and utilize us to facilitate justice. Allahumma ameen. However, make sure you are not abandoning the people that are closest to you. Make sure you are not so active with everyone outside that you're neglecting your children, your family, your parents. Make sure as you are working towards paradise and the pleasure of Allah, that you're bringing your family with you on this ark and this ship of salvation. So start with those closest to you. Make sure to give them their rights, and especially children in this day and age. They are neglected more than ever. They are given new types of babysitters, and they are always devices, the internet, technology, YouTube, and all of that. And so the parents start to neglect their children who are learning from everyone but the parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the youngsters and the youth, Allahumma ameen, and make us amongst those who are present. And this is why the value of the father and the mother in Islam cannot be overlooked. What else? Musa alayhi salam was told to go to the worst person in history, the worst ruler. He was told to go to Fir'aun. And you have to customize your da'wah. So once again, what does he do? Allah tells them, call him with speech that is gentle. قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. An example of leadership here is to know that when you're going to someone who's narcissistic and arrogant, but you're commanded to give them a particular message, that you have to figure out how to give them a message in the most effective manner possible. Do you know why? It's not about you thinking it's the firmness of the message. It's about how to get it delivered, and the person who's receiving it is actually open to it. So how do you maximize the receptiveness of the message to the heart of the individual you're talking to? It's not how do I just say what I have to say. I'm just going to say it as it is, as some people say. No, how do I try my best to make it receptive to this person's particular mindset, their worldview, the things that have to be deconstructed as well. Know your audience, know your audience, know your audience. Some experts, non-Muslim experts, will call this the human resource frame. Looking at people from the lens of people as people. They are not machines. You're looking at employees in a company. They are not machines. They have desires. They have emotions. They deserve respect. They deserve validation, to be treated with dignity, to be advised kindly, to participate in different decisions that they are involved in. The Prophet ﷺ was very balanced, and he understood the diverse personalities of the people around him. And the Prophet ﷺ would give them advice based on their needs and their personalities, their strengths and their weaknesses. So know the people that are around you, and make sure you are cultivating an atmosphere of Islam, an atmosphere that's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to be a person of glad tidings and warnings, as all the prophets are. Bashiran wa nadhira, bashiran wa nadhira, bashiran wa nadhira. Make sure you are balanced in your approach. A leader from the Islamic worldview recognizes their surroundings, their environment, the cultural values that people hold, whether it's a government administration or an individual you're talking to, or your own family, your own children. What else do we take from the concept of Islamic leadership in these last few minutes, inshallah ta'ala? Again, there's so much to cover, but we're just trying to give a few examples with some depth and implementation, inshallah ta'ala. The next example: the leader from the Islamic worldview does not compromise on the truth. They change things that are allowed to be changed in Islam. So that requires knowledge. So when it comes to the truth, you don't compromise. What's an example? An example is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wallahi, one of the most remarkable stories we can spend years studying and learning and implementing in our lives. He gave da'wah to his father. He destroyed the idols. And obviously this was long after he already gave them da'wah. He debated them. He debated an Nimrud. He spoke to his father with kindness and humility. Ya abati, ya abati, ya abati. Oh my father, oh my father, oh my father. He tried his best with his family. And yet still, what did he have to do? He did not compromise. He destroyed those idols. Alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam was offered a gift from the queen of Sheba, the queen of Saba. And what did he do? Maybe this could look like a bribe. They're trying to bribe him, those messengers that came with the gifts. He refused the gift. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, they told him, stop calling to Allah and we will give you whatever you want. You want to be the richest person, we will make you wealthy. If you want to marry the most beautiful woman, we'll give you that. If you want to be a king, we will make you our king. Just stop calling to Islam. And his uncle came to try to stop him. He said, oh my uncle, if they offered me the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would never stop conveying this mission or this message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not compromise. They said later on, how about you worship our idols for 1 year? We worship your God for 1 year. He could not compromise. Surah Al-Kafirun is revealed. Do not compromise on the truth. Brothers and sisters, sometimes people say, I'm doing this for the sake of Islam or the Ummah, but they start to compromise on things that you cannot compromise. They start to change because of money, temptations, fame and following and influencer status and all of that. May Allah protect us. Do not allow anything at all to get in between you and the true message of Islam and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, we say, a leader from the Islamic worldview emphasizes to themselves and the people around them, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? When we say trust in Allah, it has to be unwavering trust, even when things don't go your way. When you watch the situation in Gaza, and you watch the four-year-old whose face was burnt, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burn the people who did this to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down His swift justice and His relief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us and them steadfast until our last breath, until the day we meet Him. And may Allah utilize us to establish universal justice and universal peace in the world. When you see that, your tawakkul in Allah cannot disappear. When you see Muslims being butchered and a genocide that is live streamed, your trust in Allah cannot disappear. If you are leading your family, if you are leading your children, if you're leading your friends, and if you're leading yourself to Allah's pleasure, your trust in Allah cannot waver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what is happening. Dawood alayhi salam is a great example of this. What happens? He has iman in Allah, unwavering trust, and there's calculated risk being taken here. You have a smaller army and a larger army. You have a group of people who are worried about this army. How advanced are they? Look at their advancement. Look at their political connections. Look at what they have, as you hear sometimes Muslims saying even today. None of that matters. in light of what is true, in light of the command of Allah, in light of what is good. So what does he do as a leader? Unwavering trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the leader puts himself or herself on the line as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated. He was on the front lines of those battles. The Sahaba participated. Nobody in Islam thinks that leadership is to sit back and throw out commands and you do nothing yourself. You practice first what you're preaching to others. So he, Dawood alayhi salam, put himself on the line in the battle of David versus Goliath, the famous story. And he had high standards for himself, by the way, not just on the battlefield. The best of fasting, as you know, and we'll practice inshallah, maybe after Ramadan, is the fasting every other day, the voluntary fast of Dawood alayhi salam. And his qiyam at night was so special. He was seen in the beginning of times, he was seen as a light by Adam alayhi salam. And he asked about that light when it was shown to him, and he said, oh Allah, grant him some years from my life. Give him 40 years, oh Allah, from my lifespan, because of how special Dawood alayhi salam was. And guess what? Dawood alayhi salam was the first of the prophets and the messengers who was given worldly powers. He was the king and a prophet at the same time. And this was passed down to his son, Sulaiman alayhi salam. They are both examples of leaders in Islam who are given worldly things, materialism and power. And yet you would think sometimes we lose things, we start to stray, but these two kings and prophets got closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were grateful for what they have. And gratitude is a part of Islamic leadership. There are a lot of other things we can say, a lot of other examples, but I just want to end on this note, inshallah ta'ala. Every single one of you, regardless of your circumstances in life, regardless of what you have, regardless of your marital status, regardless of your age or your gender or which country you're living in, every single Muslim in the world has a role to play. Sometimes we talk about leadership and people automatically assume political power, organizational power, and that's not the case. Everyone has some level of accountability. So in Islam, it's a concept of being a shepherd over a flock. Now, you might be a leader in an organization. You might have responsibility in a college student activity club, an MSA, an Islamic organization, or you might be part of a local Islamic center. You might be just part of your family. When you have a role in your own family, in your own community, in your own school, what do? I'll give you an example. A mother, one time we were sitting down in a sisters only class. She said, I feel really, really embarrassed because I'm hearing from some of the sisters here that they have jobs or they are volunteering with all these organizations. And she said, honestly, I have nothing. I'm not a leader. This doesn't apply to me. And somebody asked her, so what is it that you do? She said, well, I'm a mother. I'm raising 6 children. They said, what are you talking about? Wallahi, you have one of the greatest and most valuable and most precious types of leadership in our ummah. You know how we keep talking about the ummah. We want the ummah to improve. Do you know what builds and develops the ummah? The mother. There's no ummah without a present mother. There's no ummah without a righteous mother. So one of the greatest examples of leadership in Islam, having a responsibility and actually being valued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the mother. May Allah have mercy on all of the mothers of our ummah. And may Allah bless all of the mothers of our ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of those who want to be mothers and yet they are not tested with that or blessed with that. May Allah reward them for their intentions as well. Everyone has a unique test, a unique responsibility. There is no success or revival of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without us establishing minimum standards of accessibility, of ilm, of knowledge, like through Al-Maghrib Institute, Alhamdulillah, and many other institutes, for the mothers of the community, for the sisters of the community. And wallahi, it's just so remarkable for the last 20 years when you look at what Al-Maghrib has done and the number of students in these classes. You look at the majority, and it's almost always, almost every single time, it is the sisters. And wallahi, that is one of the greatest signs that our ummah is strong and our ummah is coming back and our ummah is revived. And there's a lot of khayr that you have to be optimistic about, because the leadership that comes from a mother who understands and knows Islam and passes it down to her children and is present for her children and values the role of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran. You cannot take that away. So any ideology in the world that attempts to stop accessibility of ilm and tarbiyah from the mother is waging war against Islam, is waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you talk about leadership in Islam, it is to look at your responsibilities and it is to serve. Look at what you are responsible for and serve. Look at what you're responsible for and hold yourself accountable for it. In Islam, leadership is not about power. It's about serving and facilitating what Allah wants, what Allah commands, in the manner that you can within your capacity. Take advantage of what you have access to. If you are literally a young student of knowledge and you are living alone, you say, I have nobody to lead forward, lead your soul, lead yourself, and the people you can influence of friends and community to goodness, there is something for everyone to do. And wallahi, our ummah is doing well. Our ummah is doing well despite the injustice and the genocide our ummah is facing, despite the displacement and the starvation in Sudan, despite the concentration camps in East Turkestan. Wallahi, our ummah is doing well. And the iman of the ummah is very clear. The iman of the ummah that is united every time there's an injustice. But do not stop. Have an unwavering trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue learning and investing in these institutions, in the organizations that are helping the ummah to stay where it is and to revive itself to the next standard. Alhamdulillah. This is all that we could cover with the time that we have, inshallah ta'ala, in the future. We'll have perhaps series and classes and programs about this topic. But I just want to end on this note, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, we have made it to the month of Ramadan. We want, inshallah ta'ala, at least another 70 or 80 students today who are listening now to join in. We have, alhamdulillah, several hundred students who already participated. And those who participated, by the way, some of you reached out. You did something remarkable. When I see this, wallahi, it's very inspirational. Some of you reached out and said, I joined the daily giving. You guys can join. You'll see the link in the chat. I joined the daily giving. And some of the brothers and sisters said, I want to do more. I want to help more. I'm seeing the benefit. And I'm thinking this is only what I see. What about the impact on the ummah that I cannot see? So if you want to join again, you can join again, inshallah ta'ala. Give whatever you can. This is all going to good causes. This is going to reviving our brothers and sisters in every land and every place. Alhamdulillah, we have the largest body of students taking classes, unique courses, exams, working towards degrees, helping their families, memorizing and reciting Quran and learning tajweed. There's so much to do. Let us focus on the institutions that are doing this work. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow your sadaqah because of your intention to be magnified, to impact more people, and to lead to more barakah in your life as well. Join us, inshallah ta'ala, for the daily giving. May Allah accept from all of you whatever you're able to do, and keep your brothers and your sisters in your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts united and allow us to lead ourselves and the people around us and our organizations and our families and the ummah forward towards Him, towards paradise with unwavering dedication and trust. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Subhanallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Sheikh Sulaiman Hani, that was powerful, doesn't begin to cover it. Jazakumullah khair for making so much, packing so much benefit into this time and for giving us so much. I feel like my heart is beating harder, like much more determined coming out of this session to do so much more. May Allah accept from you and make us able to act on the advice that you've given us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. There's so many reminders. This session is we're a little bit tight on time, so I'm going to jump into some of these important reminders. Sheikh Sulaiman, we look forward to seeing you, doing your du'as near the end of Ramadan and joining us for your final few sessions, inshallah, with us as well. Jazakumullah khair for making us part of your Ramadan experience as well. We'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I hope that you guys all felt what I felt through this session. That was Sheikh Sulaiman Hani on the topic of leadership for day number 10 of Ramadan 360. I hope there's reflections that can go in so many different directions. There's so much great advice that Sheikh gave us to act upon in this last session, alhamdulillah. And I hope that you guys, especially those who, mashallah, have been contributing and being part of this experience and even just benefiting and joining live, you guys felt the energy and felt the immensity of what you're part of, alhamdulillah, through Ramadan 360. May Allah make it accepted as a badah for us and allow us to take this and act upon all of it, as I was saying. I mean, subhanAllah, that was, I don't know if you guys felt that same level of energy. Let me know if you're feeling that. Like, let me know if you just... like it was like your heartbeat was rushing and you're like, dang, this is what the ummah is about. This is what we're here for. This is our purpose, subhanAllah. Very energetic, very purposeful. Carrie says, I want to cry. Awesome. 100% sure. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. I'm glad that you guys are on the same page now. A couple of quick reminders before we jump into Quran Reflect. I'm sure you guys have a lot to reflect on and to think about, inshallah, for today's session. And also a heads up, this is going to be a shortened session today. So we're going to actually be finishing at 6:05 EST. So like 5 minutes past the hour. So just if you're not able to catch it to the end and you miss sometimes, inshallah, you'll be able to benefit from the entirety of Quran Reflect today. And a special reminder in that case, to please make sure that we stick to that 30-second time limit and we keep our reflections short today so that we can benefit from as many people as possible. Sheikh Sulaiman Hani already mentioned our daily giving, so I won't plug too much, but you guys have that link on Maghrib, maghrib.org/give-daily. So make sure that you guys are making that, part of your intention every single day. And I know a lot of you guys were asking earlier, so jazakumullah khair to those who inspired this, but I know some folks, mashallah, have already contributed. So if you want to contribute again, but you don't want to sign up for another Give Daily, I think that's a lot to ask. You're actually able to now click here on the Give Daily page and just click here to do a one-time donation. So if you specifically want to just give one more time and you want to support more, inshallah, or you just want to support one time from the beginning, you're able to do that through the one-time donation link. A reminder as well, I was mentioning earlier for those who missed it, the announcement yesterday is that alhamdulillah, our 10-day challenge is starting tomorrow, inshallah, for those who are already registered for Quran, for Ramadan 360, it is already added into your portals. So it's the 10-day Quran challenge kicking off March 21st at 1 p.m. EST. When you click through this portal, just like with Ramadan 360, you'll be able to join through the links here and jump in the first day. Inshallah, we're going to be covering Surah An-Nur, verses 35 to 37. So you can practice those ahead of time if you'd like to do so, inshallah, but be ready to go, be ready to have high energy. Imam Wissam Sharif is another instructor that we have who's super high energy and he does not let you rest. So you're going to enjoy that experience a lot, inshallah, with us. And then finally, I've also mentioned before, we have our Ramadan summit happening this Saturday at 1 p.m. EST as well. So please make sure you mark your calendars for that. You register for free to RSVP and secure your seat. And you join a little bit early because like with the first few days of Ramadan 360, those who joined a little late, they were having a hard time getting a spot. So make sure that you do join early so you don't cap out on Zoom. And of course, inshallah, you're going to be joined by 13 Al-Maghrib instructors giving you powerful reminders on the elements in the Quran where Allah addresses us with, oh, you who believe. Very exciting topic. And inshallah, we're looking forward to having you guys benefit from that as well. And of course, we do have, I mentioned yesterday, almaghrib.org/hajj. There's that last opportunity for those who are hoping to squeeze in and get a spot for Hajj and we're not able to do so this year. You have that last opportunity. A multitude of Almaghrib instructors are going to be going and facilitating the experience. They just hosted a webinar with a lot of the folks who'd already registered their interest. So if you are interested, put in your name there, register your interest, and they will connect with you, inshallah ta'ala. Now, sorry, I know the time has been wishing by and we want to jump into our Quran Reflect session. I know Ustada Taymiya has been with us from the very beginning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Ustada Taymiya. How are you doing this fine Wednesday?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm well.
Alhamdulillah.
Let's get started.
Let's jump right in. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. So when you think about leadership, what Arabic word comes to mind? I have the chat open if you want to type over there quickly. Qaid. Okay, somebody has said Ibrahim alayhi salam. Any Quranic word? Okay, mashallah, there's imama. All right, imam. Good. So I actually want to focus on the word imam. Okay. Because our leader, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even instructed his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow, is Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? And Ibrahim alayhi salam is described as imam in the Quran. So let's unpack this word and let's look at different verses that mention this word quickly before I take your reflections. So the word imam is from amma ya ummu, which basically means to be to precede other people, all right? To lead other people, you need to serve as an example, to be followed. So for example, an imam in salah stands before the people, right? And not just stands before the people, the imam also precedes the people in actions, right? So the imam says Allahu Akbar, and then people say Allahu Akbar, right? The imam goes into rukur, and then people go into rukur. So an imam is supposed to be followed, right? That is who an imam is. And in the Arabic language, the imam of the ibil, the camels, is basically the person who is guiding the group of the travelers. Why? Because he is basically leading the camels. All right. He is guiding the camels. So wherever he's going to take the camels, the entire caravan is going to go. All right. So imam is to lead. All right. Imam is to be followed. Now there's another word, which is hukm. Hukm is to pass judgment. All right. And you pass judgment when you have authority or when you have power. But imama can be with or without power, because it is to rule over the hearts of people. It is to be able to influence change in people. And this can be with or without authority. Now, there's four verses in the Quran that I want to focus on. The first verse is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 124, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salam that إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, that I am going to make you a leader for the people, meaning for all people. Now we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, did he have authority and power over people? Did he have that over the people of his time or even the people who came later? No, he did not have that authority. He did not even judge for people or rule over them in any way. However, Ibrahim alayhi salam is a leader of the nations that came after him. How? Because he has influenced them. And he is an example that is followed, right? He made the call for Hajj and people respond till today. He is an example for us in surrendering to Allah, in being Hanif, right? وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not an idolater. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us repeatedly in the Quran to follow the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the first thing then that we can establish is that leadership is not synonymous to power and authority. Because sometimes we underestimate the positive change we can bring to the people around us, the influence that we can have, because we don't have certain titles, because we don't have certain resources, because we don't have a power the way that others have. But you don't need that necessarily in order to influence positive change. The second ayah that I want to focus on is the ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 73, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, about the prophets of Allah, that we made them leaders who would guide according to our command, meaning who would guide people according to our amr. Now, if you think about it, the prophets of Allah, again, they not all of them had authority over people, right? However, the prophets of Allah guided people, how? With ilm, with knowledge. So the prophets of Allah taught people what the way to Allah is. And this shows us that leadership is with ilm. It is with knowledge, not passion only, all right? And certainly not ignorance. Before you lead, before you influence, before you can inspire people towards positive change in any capacity, what is necessary? Knowledge. And Imam Bukhari puts a chapter heading in his book, in his collection, Sahih Bukhari, that al-ilmu qabl al-qawli wal-amal, that knowledge comes before speech and action. So many people are, passionate about, influencing other people and, different forms of leadership, but there needs to be a solid basis of ilm, and especially divine knowledge, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. The third ayah that I want to talk about is in Surah Al-Sajdah, number 24, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. That among the Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain leaders. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. We made among them leaders. Who would يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, who would guide according to our command, meaning according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. But when were they able to guide people? لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ, and they were certain of our verses. Now, this has been interpreted in a number of ways. One interpretation is that when they were patient, they were made into leaders, or they were made leaders on account of their patience. And this teaches us that effective leadership is with patience, not without it. Because calling people to Allah, right, teaching them something, inspiring positive change, influencing them in a positive way, this is not always easy. It can actually be very, very frustrating, right? So effective leadership is with patience. And it is also with yaqeen, with conviction. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. Because you don't always see the positive, or rather, you don't always see the results immediately, right? You know, for example, just the other day, my toddler surprised us. There's a book that we've been reading to him for like months and months, right? And he literally started reading it from his memory. And it was so beautiful to see that you don't know what's going in, right? You read a book and you read it again and you read it again and you think like you're just wasting your time because toddlers want, you know, repetition. And you think that you're wasting your time. You don't see immediate results. But then after some time, you see the results, right? So you have to have that yaqeen, that conviction that what you're doing is not going to go to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure the reward. The fourth ayah that I want to talk about is, and this is the last one, it is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 74, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman, right, of his worshippers. And they are وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The last part of this dua is that, oh Allah, make us a leader of those who are righteous. What do we see over here? That they are praying for those whom they are leading, right? That, oh Allah, make us a leader of those who are righteous. So there's two things we see over here, all right? The first thing we see over here is that they have genuine concern for the people whom they are leading, even if it's just their families, that they're praying for them, that, oh Allah, make them muttaqeen, make them those who are righteous, all right? The second thing is that if they're going to be leaders of righteous people, then what does it mean? They themselves are going to be righteous. So this shows us that leadership is with Sidq, yani you have to be truthful to Allah. This cannot be just, you know, a show of piety in front of other people. No, if it's just a fake display, then that is not true leadership, and it's not going to bring good results. Allah is not going to grant that any success. You know, for example, if you want your children to recite the Quran but you never recite it yourself, You won't be successful in your wishes, in your dreams that you have for your children. You have to lead by example. You cannot expect them to be righteous if you yourself don't practice that righteousness, right? And leadership is also with nusr, yani sincerity towards the people whom you lead, that you want the best for them. Not that you wanted to take the most from them, because this is how some leaders are, that for them, a position of leadership is just a way of manipulating other people and taking advantage of them, right? But we see that real leadership is that you want the best for those whom you lead, so you also pray for them. You also make dua for them. All right, so these were the four ayat that I wanted to talk about. Let's hear reflections from you. And remember, try to keep your reflections within 30 seconds. Make them to the point, short, precise, inshallah, so that we can get through as many as possible. Jazakumullah khairan. All right, first person.
Alrighty, Brother Ahmed, if you can unmute, go right ahead, bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum, thank you so much for such a wonderful lecture. My reflection is on Surah Balad, ayat number 90, verse 10 and 11. I think two of the attributes of the leaders are they make the difficult, they take the steeper path. And what comes to mind is a prophet, may peace be upon him, in Sulh Hudaybiyah. And in the contemporary world, Imran Khan in Pakistan reminds me of a true leader, Islamic leader. He's sitting in jail because he's taking the steep path. And I think that's, to me, that's a true attributes of a great leader. Thank you.
Taking the steep path. Yeah, it's not always easy. It's not, you know, leading people in, you know, to create any inspiring positive change in people is not always popular. It's not always popular. It's not always welcomed.
All righty, awesome. Noor Khan, go right ahead. Bismillah. You can unmute yourself, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to share my reflection today. For some reason, coming in today's lecture, I kind of thought of leadership as like the typical one, someone with a title. But today's lecture and Quran reflection made me realize how in Islam, every single person, whether you're a mother, sister, brother, no matter who you are, you owe each other a responsibility. And we are one ummah, and we all have some sort of leadership, and we all need to reflect on this and acknowledge this and act positively towards our relationships in our life.
Mm-hmm. Jazakallah khairan.
Mashallah. Everyone's keeping it good, really short. Mashallah. Awesome. I had Aisha Gomda next on my list. Aisha, are you able to unmute? I don't see your hand anymore. If not, that's okay, inshallah. We can take the next person down until you're able to do so. So I have Aisha from the UK as well. Aisha number two. Go right ahead, Bismillah. Oh, I may have muted you by accident. Go right ahead again.
Hello?
There you go.
It's a quick reflection how life comes back in full circle. My mom raised my siblings and I, took us to lectures and events.
Sorry, Aisha, your voice is a little quiet, or it's the audio is a little low.
Hello?
Okay, better. Yes.
Reflection how my mom used to take us to Islamic events, lectures, and taught us a lot of Islam, and a lot of relatives used to ridicule her. And then over time, because she set the example, a lot of relatives started turning around because they became from weaker to stronger in the iman and the religion. And now because her health declined, I take her to events now with my mom. And she looks at me and literally happened last month. She held my hand and she said, I should take you, now you take me. Now I'm learning from you, through you. And that made me so happy that what she taught me, I was still able to carry on, even to this day and beyond, inshallah. That's a quick reflection.
Alhamdulillah. This is so beautiful, right? You lead by example. You know, sometimes being a mother, you may feel like you don't have the resources or that position or that status to be able to do what you want, but you don't know what kind of influence you can have on your children and what that may lead to in the future. Inshallah. Okay, next person.
Ali Hussein, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm from the UK. I'm a layman. I was born Muslim, but I'm not 100% practicing. Like I said, I'm a layman. I'm not good with words. I'm not good with the reflections. I just have one question, if you don't mind. Any advice for a layman? And I understand you did an audio tafsir commentary. I found it on Google. Is that okay for the layman to study?
Yes, Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Yes, it is. Inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair, Brother Ali. We got UK representing today, mashallah. We have another Tamia who's got their hand raised. Tamia, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. So I was going to say that leadership is hard because I've experienced some friends who turn from like Islam and they go to the wrong path. And when you try like to advise them, they're like stubborn and it's just really hard. That's all.
Yeah. So you should not give up on people. You should pray for them. Especially when you see a friend going off track, then you should definitely make dua for them. All right.
Awesome sauce. Next, we have Bilqis, inshallah. Bilqis, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
When I heard the word leadership, the first thing that came in my head was management according to secular education. SubhanAllah. And that's what keep going on even this morning. Leadership, this is what it is. And SubhanAllah, but everything goes back to the Quran and Sunnah. Everything is in the Quran. We have all the example in the Quran. and where we have all the different examples as well from the prophets. And I love the what you said about, because I remember myself when we don't know how much a child can learn from us. We don't realize it, what's going on in the head. And I remember when my daughter was very small and I used to tell her, you're not memorizing the Quran. And one day she stood up and she said, I'm going to lead today for Salat al-Maghrib. And she recited the last ayah of Surah Baqarah. I said, when did you learn that? Because I didn't really see her sitting down like I did expect. And she said, no, you recite it to me every night, that's why. And it is true. That's my reflection.
Barakallah fiqh. Awesome. So next, if we can have Sister Naila, inshallah. Naila, if you're ready to unmute.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I was reflecting on the opposite side of the coin and how important it is for those who aren't leaders to seek the leadership of those who are actually qualified in it. We see so many influencers popping up online, gaining millions of followers and then leaving the path of Allah. And the people who follow them, trust them, believe in them, they fall victim to the same kind of fate because these are the people that they looked up to as role models. And especially within the revert community, many, many reverts learn their deen from unreliable sources and come and bring things that don't actually exist within Islam and ask questions and say, oh, but I heard this and da da da. And they take the knowledge from the people they think they can just take from anyone, subhanAllah. So just as important and heavy the weight is of being a leader, it's equally as important as not a leader to follow the correct sources of that knowledge.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khairan for sharing that, because in the Quran, we learn about how people will be led into hell by the leaders whom they used to follow in the world. So where there's a responsibility for the people of influence to influence with truth, there's also a responsibility on people to follow those who are calling to the truth. And you never blindly follow people. So jazakallah khairan for mentioning that.
Beautiful. We just have a couple more minutes left. So however many people we can get in during that time depends on how fast everyone is, inshallah. So Solange, no pressure, you're up next. Bismillah.
The Prophet ﷺ was shy to set boundaries as a leader with people encroaching on his personal space. Taking too much time, but Allah was not shy and he put those boundaries there. I think that tells us that it's fine there's nothing wrong with putting those boundaries, and it's important to do that, because otherwise you'll burn out as a leader.
Jazakallah khairan.
Great response. Reminder, Brother Uthman, you're next, inshallah. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So my take on leadership based on this discussion is that I think the most important thing for us is to do dua for our leaders to be right, guided right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if they are not guided, they cannot persevere. And if they cannot persevere, they cannot deliver what we need. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair. Next we have Masuma Hafiz, inshallah. Go right ahead, Masuma.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustada.
Alaikum assalam.
This is a question actually from your speech today. You said to do the leadership, gaining knowledge is the prerequisite, which make really good sense. Yeah, if you do not have a knowledge on that field or text or whatever you're doing. Now, being a mother is a leader also. And a woman just all of a sudden got married and don't have any knowledge prior, especially in our time, which I'm talking like 38 years ago, did not have a knowledge, now became a mother. So how that's going to work?
I think a mother is generally speaking, mothers are very passionate about you know, taking good care of their children. They want their children to succeed. So what I see, what I have experienced and what I have witnessed is that anything that frustrates you about your children, right? You know, for example, you see that they're not praying on time. You need to bring that change in yourself. You need to start praying yourself in order to see that change in your children. Likewise, when you see that there's something that, you know, you don't know how to teach your children, then instead of just finding a teacher for your children, think about how you can learn as well. You know, subhanAllah, I have witnessed in my, in recent years, how there are mothers who will bring their children to learn the Quran, but when they find out that their children cannot be admitted into the program because they will not be able to read their lesson to anyone, because a mother is not able to take, you know, help their help the child with the lesson, then the mother goes and joins the Quran class so that she can become proficient, so that she can teach her children. So in order to see your children succeed, you have to first equip yourself, right? And learning is not limited to, you know, just a certain stage in life. It's a lifelong commitment, inshallah. It's a lifelong journey.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair. Right, inshallah. I know. We're at the clock. I see some amazing hands. Anybody who's got their hands up, please do share with us, share your reflections, and just add them if you can on Telegram so that we don't lose them and that we all can still benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Everyone was on fire today.
Mashallah. Excellent reflections. Jazakumullah khair. And keep this up.
Incredible. Inshallah. See you all. I'll let you go. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Everybody else, jazakumullah khair. That was an amazing session. I love that we're all in the groove. Please keep up that energy and have that noted when you're listening to Sheikh Sunaiman Hani, to the instructor at the beginning of Ramadan 360. Note down your reflections so that you have an idea or a point ready to go and your gems ready to go. But and as jazakumullah, are we missing a few of the folks who are sharing their gems and their notes in the chat, who we all are, I guess, very heavily reliant on at this point in Ramadan 360? So we have to become those people, definitely. And I think that was the theme of today's talk as well. As someone was mentioning earlier, one of the gems I read is that a leader must first do good themselves, and only then can they focus on others. And that's what you're doing when you're developing yourself, and you're investing in yourself through Ramadan 360, and you're investing in other students as well, who will become, inshallah, the leaders of tomorrow. That's kind of that's the whole purpose of why, you know, we don't, Al-Maghrib is a nonprofit institution. We don't benefit. If we get, you know, $1 million in donations, or we get $10, it makes no difference to anyone who works here, or any of the instructors. Everyone else is dedicated to the dawah just for the purpose of building up this Ummah, creating the leaders of tomorrow, and making sure that we have the access to authentic knowledge, answers to our questions, and confidence in our deen, alhamdulillah. So jazakumullah khair for being part of that, and a shout out again to the folks who make that possible, through who've donated in the past, who've been giving in the daily giving, who've made one-time donations, and of course our sponsors here on Ramadan 360, HHRD in the US, Forgotten Women in the UK, and Islamic Relief in Canada. Please, of course, please stay generous in your support of their work and their causes as well. And a reminder, tomorrow, 1 p.m. EST, we kick off the Quran challenge. Get your juzes open. If you've been a little rusty, make sure that you've got your practice in. But no matter what level of proficiency or confidence that you're in, you're going to find a space for yourself in tomorrow's recitation, inshallah, with Imam Wissam Sharif. So look out for that and join us at 1 p.m. live when we kick off the challenge. And of course, Ramadan 360 will be continuing as usual with Sheikh Dawood. But I don't know if you guys are familiar. He's been on Ramadan 360 in the past. He's been a TV host, a local personality here in Toronto back. We were fortunate enough to have him here, and his topic is going to be on the topic of trust. So don't miss it. Join us live. We'll see you then. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And yes, thank you for the webinar link as well. Join us for Saturday's webinar. Lots of plugs these days. Apologies, guys. I told you it was going to stay busy. Anyways, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.